Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you're a God who longs to speak and longs to be in relationship with us. Help us to hear your voice and to serve you as we become more like Jesus. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? There's an interesting little book that was published in 1904 entitled Maxwell's Elementary Grammar. This book contains the following poem. "Oh ho," said the pot to the kettle, "you are dirty and ugly and black. Sure, no one would think you were metal except when you're given a crack." "Not so, not so," kettle said to the pot. "'Tis your own dirty image you see, for I am so clean without blemish or blot that your blackness is mirrored in me." Now, you may have heard someone use the idiom that says, well, that's the pot calling the kettle black. This saying probably didn't originate with Maxwell's verse and has no doubt been around for much longer than that. Some say it dates back to the 1620 novel Don Quixote. The idiom is in reference to a person who's guilty of the very thing of which they're accusing another. That sounds quite a bit like Judas in our gospel reading this morning, doesn't it? Here we find Mary at the feet of Jesus, like one famous time she had been previously. But this time she's not in the mode of learning, like before, but she's paying deference and respect to Jesus in devotion and worship. Mary is more than grateful to Jesus for raising her brother Lazarus from the dead. Would have been an interesting dinner party that, you know, he had been dead, now he's back alive, and here he is reclining at the table with Jesus. She's more than thankful for all that Jesus has taught her. So this moment is very special for Mary. Whether she's actually doing this in recognition of his death, and whether she was knowingly, symbolically anointing his body for burial or not, Mary at least gave all that she had in this very splendid way. She opens a bottle of very expensive perfume, empties the content onto Jesus' feet, and begins to wash his feet using her hair. This gesture may have just been a spontaneous expression of love for Jesus. She wanted to bless Jesus, and this was the best way that she could think of to do that. She takes something of immense and irreplaceable value and gives it all to Jesus. Jesus understood her intentions, and he knew her heart. He was pleased. He was honoured. So you would think that others who were there with him might have understood the situation like Jesus and respected Mary for her extravagant devotion. Well, not entirely, not everyone. Gaining the attention of Jesus was the statement which Judas makes that we read in verse 5. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." Can we relate to Judas? After all, one single denarius was a day's wages, and the 300 denarii, which is what the text actually said, was basically equivalent to a whole year's salary. Now, I'm not sure how much you make in a year, but whether your income is $20,000 or $200,000, that's a lot of money to be pouring out onto someone's feet. However, that's not the point. The real issue here is the intent of Judas. He verbalises what seems to be a genuine concern, that there could perhaps be a greater purpose for the perfume to be sold and the proceeds given to the poor. What more noble purpose than that? But in fact, Jesus always discerns what is truly in our hearts and in our minds. Jesus knew that charity was not really what Judas had in mind. Judas didn't see perfume being poured out as an offering of devotion to a loving Lord and Master. All Judas saw was liquid money being spilled and wasted, money that he would miss the opportunity of getting his hands on. Judas was the keeper of the bag, the group's treasurer, as it were, and apparently he was known for reaching in and helping himself. Embezzlement at its finest. Whether the disciples realized this at the time or only came to know about it in hindsight, this fact was certainly known about him by the time John wrote this account. In one of the few stained glass windows in the world dedicated to Judas at St. Matthias, Judas is depicted with a bag of coins above his head. Judas the treasurer, Judas who sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and Judas the thief. Certainly Jesus knew that his statement was false, and he quickly cuts him off by saying, "Leave her alone." It's a sharp rebuke that blows Judas's cover. Judas's only care was for the money, not really for the poor. Jesus was exposing the true motive in Judas's heart and contrasting that to what was motivating Mary's act of worship and devotion. He let Judas know that he was fully aware that the real issue was about the money. He knew that Judas couldn't really care less about the poor. But Jesus did more than just rebuke Judas for his greed. He also rebuked him for his inability to appreciate what this loving outpouring of, what this lavish outpouring of love by Mary could actually mean. Judas saw waste. Jesus, at least, saw anointing for burial. Judas was looking at his own soul, his own concerns. Jesus was noting the outpouring of devotion and affection from Mary's soul that comes from a close relationship that he had with Mary. That's just one of the many lessons, I think, that could be drawn from today's story. Others that we don't really have time to go into or to tease out include things like, what did Jesus mean by saying, "The poor you will always have with you"? And there are probably a number of other lessons that we could look at too. Maybe those things are for another time. But Mary had come to know and love Jesus in a very special and intimate way. Because of his depth of relationship, she was able to humble herself and offer this touching expression of love to Jesus. Such depth and such sincerity of love comes only through spending time in close fellowship with Jesus and through realizing with great gratitude the marvelous blessings that he'd provided. In this case, particularly the gift of her brother back from the grave, among the many other ways that Jesus has blessed her. The way we express our love for Jesus often depends upon the effort that we put into developing this same kind of relationship with him. Our love for Jesus won't grow unless we spend time with him, listening to his voice, experiencing his great love for us. If we find that our love for Jesus has waned or cooled off or become distant, if we find that serving him through worship and obedience has become a bit of a struggle, it should raise some concerns for us that we might need to reevaluate our priorities and make more time, like Mary, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to recognize and acknowledge his many gifts and blessings. It's an easy trap to fall into, that is, to be like Judas, where we can get heavily involved in Christian activity for the sake of Christ and yet end up neglecting our relationship with Christ. Our many Christian activities can become just routine business rather than personal, devotional, and relational. If we'd be more like Mary, we'll quickly find that after we've spent time in intimate fellowship with our Lord, and after we've heard his voice and received his gracious love and many blessings, we will be prepared to serve him and worship him in deep faith, love, reverence, and obedience. Particularly during this time of Lent, but actually at all times as well, let's give up having just a casual acquaintance with Jesus, like Judas had. Let's seek to deepen our relationship like Mary, so that we can sit at the feet of Jesus in a loving, personal, and intimate relationship, expressing our love for him in deeply extravagant ways. As the Apostle James would later write in his letter, draw near to God through drawing near to our loving Lord Jesus. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Let's go on from here, drawing near to God, growing deeper in our relationship with Jesus and our devotion to our loving Lord. Amen.